Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
And that is all. So I would love to introduce the birthday boy this week, Tom Kyle. Thank you, sir.
No speech. Thank you. I'm going to have a birthday. I'm glad to keep having them. I'm always fascinated by people. Oh, I hate having birthdays. What's your option? Just think that thing through, you know. Oh, I hate having birthdays. Okay. We can talk about that later. This morning, I had planned on speaking out of Acts chapter 4. We even have notes. I sent my notes in. They are there. But if I can say this, over the next 6-7 weeks, I'm going to be speaking each Sunday that I know of, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. But I really felt just this morning that the Lord has spoken what he wanted to say. And I would like to table what I wanted to say, was planning on saying this morning for next week. But I would like to do this, if we could. I would like just to read through two different passages of Scripture, just Acts 4 and into Acts 5. And it's just, in fact, Paul actually, I believe it was Timothy, he encouraged Timothy to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And I don't think that that's common so much in most churches, where they just read the Word of God. But what I would like to do is just conclude with that this morning. I'd just like to read through Acts chapter 4. In fact, my wife this morning, danger. I may be losing birthday presents even as I continue to speak. Can I quote you, honey?
You will.
I don't know if that was a ringing endorsement or not. She said, "Are you going to read all those verses?" As it turns out, I am. But I'm not going to go into and elaborate on what I was going to. I will do that next week. But the next 2 weeks, the next 2 Sundays in particular, I want to focus on the end of Acts 4 next Sunday, and the following week, Acts 5, which is a really interesting passage of Scripture, which we're going to read in just a second. And if you're not familiar with Acts chapter 5, it's really interesting. But Acts 4, I'm going to begin with verse 1. I'm just going to read through the entire chapter. And then I'm going to start with 5, and then we'll conclude and pray. And the reason why I'm doing that is this. I really feel like the Lord was very specific this morning in wanting to gain our attention. With the prophetic words, the 2 or 3 that came forward this morning, I think he wants, just to remind us, he wants us. He wants our attention. He wants us to listen. He wants us to focus. So appreciated what Mike said, over communion with Psalm 23. It's, at times it's a whole different way to look at our enemies. They think, "Lord, make my enemies go away." He says, No. I'm going to serve this meal right in front of your enemies. I want them to see what you're enjoying in the midst of the attack, in the midst of the verbal assault. I want them to see what's happening also. And it's not to spite them, but it's the Lord is there regardless of whatever our enemies want to do and say to us, because he's God and they're not. Amen? So Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read from the NIV, verse 1 through, I think it's 37. I think there are 37 verses. Yes, there are. And this is where Randy said, "You're going to read all that." I was going to read all that and then speak also. So this is bonus. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there. And so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? In the previous chapter we looked at 2 or 3 weeks ago when I spoke, a man who had been crippled in his legs from birth had been healed. He'd been crippled for 40 years. And the whole city took note of this amazing healing. That's what they're referring to in verse 7. By what power or what name did you do this? What is this? The amazing healing that none could deny. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I love this next verse. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. What? No Bible school? Nope. They were ordinary men, and they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you know it's possible to go to Bible school and never encounter Jesus? I know, I'm not going to comment. I have been to Bible school. Just, he hasn't? I have. We have. Yes. Gosh, I said I'm not going to speak. Verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. Why would you even try and deny it? Oh my goodness, religion. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. In response to this amazing little message, the religious leader said, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That's a prayer meeting. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. All filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Just a question. I find people say, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's for me. I'm not sure. He's for you. For all people. If you have breath in your body, he's for you. Verse 32. All the believers, here's another miracle. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Period. It's impossible. No, it's possible. It means I'm going to have to change. We might have to change. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. Another miracle. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Let me read that again. To me, this is almost a bigger miracle than the healing of the man who was crippled in legs for 40 years. Because this has to do with will and our hearts and our pocketbooks. Verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. That doesn't mean the needy people left. For from time to time, not one time, not that time, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. That's people whose hearts are the Lord's. How beautiful, how amazing, how powerful. Acts chapter 5. I'm just going to read the first 11 verses. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. So far, no problem, right? No problem so far. Sold the property, say for $50,000. He decided, I'm going to give 30, keep 20. No problem, right? No problem. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, Wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to human beings, but to God. So here's the problem. Here's the challenge. Ananias came to church and said, hey, I sold a piece of property for X amount of dollars. Here's all of it. The only problem was, it wasn't all of it. But he made it seem like I'm giving you everything. When in fact, he'd kept some of it back. No problem if he keeps some of it back. It's his money. It's his land. But he led the apostles to believe, I'm giving you everything. Verse 3. Then Peter said, this is fun church. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold and after it was sold? Wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear, I'll bet, and great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Communication is so important in marriage. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that's the price. Wrong answer. And Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Wow. New Testament church. This is New Testament church, not Old Testament church. New Testament church. Wow. So here's what I would like to ask us to do. Just over the next week, I would like to ask you, could you just read the scripture? Just read Acts 1 through 5. Just read 1 through 5. Next week we're going to gather. These are a couple of challenging sections of scripture. They're not problematic, they're simply challenging. They're problems challenging to my mind. They're challenging to how I view things, how I understand things. But this actually happened. Wouldn't it be weird if the Lord actually meant what he said? Wouldn't that be weird? But it's in the Bible. And it's true. And it happened. There was a real Peter. There was a real John. There was a real lame man for 40 years. There was a real Ananias, and there was a real Sapphira. And there's a very, very real Holy Spirit. Very real. And he loves us, and he's for us, and he's interested in integrity. He's interested in how I live my life, how I purport myself. He's interested in my integrity and your integrity. He's interested in us. Not that I have a friend of mine in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He pastors a church, and he calls this scary church. But it's real church. And I will just say this. Before the Lord comes back, his presence is going to come into the church like this. Not to kill people. If you can hear me, not to kill people. But the people of God are holy, Not perfect. Not perfect. But when I make a mistake, I make a mistake and I own it. To me, this is a huge... Well, now I'm speaking. But it's for me to own my stuff. It's for me to own my stuff. And when I mess up, because I do all the time, I own my stuff. Because he loves me. And he wants me free. He wants me free, he wants me free, he wants me free. He wants us free. Because he wants to heal people and bless people. Because there's thousands of people are getting saved in the midst of all this. Because when Holy Spirit's there, people are getting saved and healed. And there's a cleaning of the house. And a cleaning of the house. It's not bad. It's him. It's his presence. And he loves us. And he's for us. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness. Jesus, as I'm reading through your beautiful, precious word, may I not try and put you in a box of my own making. But Lord, Holy Spirit, just as we heard this morning prophetically, just walk through the garden of my heart. Help me to be real with myself. That I'm honest with myself, that I would be, that we would be people of integrity. When we're wrong and we admit it. When I have stuff, Lord, that I would remember it's your stuff. Everything I own is yours. You've given it to me, Lord. You're generous and you're kind and you're merciful. You're tender and you're compassionate. Lord, help me not to grip the things that you have given me. Lord, that the things you've given me don't grip me and hold me. But Lord, may I have my hand extended in generosity and kindness as you've blessed us. Help me, Lord, to love beautifully, to love fully, to consider others more important than myself. To live and love lavishly. Help us, Jesus. Thank you for the beauty of your word. Lord, we hold it in the highest degree of utmost importance. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to us as we read your words. We spend time quietly in your presence, learning to be quiet, to allow your gentle, still voice speak, and that I would hear, that we would be moved by you. Thank you for the way you love us, Jesus. Bless this week. Bless this week that people all around us would know that you're alive. Just by our countenance, by the sweetness of our spirit, because that's who you are in us. May we spill and splash your sweetness everywhere we go. Thank you for you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. And amen. If you want someone to pray for you, we have a prayer team. I'd like you to come forward to be prayed for. We'd love to stand with you. Be blessed, be encouraged, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.